The Buckmaster Radio Program is paid for by Buckmaster Communications, LLC. The views expressed are not necessarily those of KVOI, Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or their sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you on this Thanksgiving Eve 2021. My old buddy, Ray Allen, engineering and producing the show on the other side of the glass, and together a very hearty welcome to the Buckmaster program. It's Wednesday, November 24th, 2021. We are in the Green Thing Zocalo Village studio. Our radio station is 1030. Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. We have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Speaking of the live line, let's open it up, Ray. We'll open up the live line at 790-2040. I want to hear what you are particularly thankful for on this Thanksgiving Eve. Give us a call, 790-2040. I know Steve and the team up at Mona's Danish Bakery are very, very thankful for the wonderful response. We've been asking and reminding people to put in their order for their Thanksgiving pies and dinner rolls. You can still walk into the bakery right now. Many people will be walking in picking up their orders, but there are pies, there are rolls available if you would like to drop by. The northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, Mona's Danish Bakery, their website, monasdanishbakery.com. I know it is a little late, but some people still planning their meal. So stop by right now, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Thanksgiving is America's oldest tradition. Tomorrow we'll be marking the 400th anniversary of what has been come to be known as the first Thanksgiving. That was back in 1621. 52 English men, women, and children gathered together with Native American warriors for a three-day feast at what is now Plymouth, Massachusetts. Melanie Kirkpatrick, the senior fellow at the Hudson Institute, writes in today's Wall Street Journal. She says the central similarity between that first Thanksgiving and every subsequent one is a spirit of gratitude, and we'll be expressing our gratitude with acts of hospitality and charity. Many of us will be offering prayers of thanks to the Almighty, however we define Him. In doing so, Ms. Kirkpatrick writes, we will be following in the footsteps of the pilgrims and Native Americans at that first Thanksgiving. Let's go now on our live line to our faith and spirituality contributor, Father Robert Hendrickson, the rector at St. Philip's in the Hills Episcopal Church, where I am a member. Father Robert, how are you?
I am all right, Bill. How are you?
Doing well. Why don't we begin with, what are you especially grateful for this Thanksgiving?
Well, I'll tell you, this year, I'm thankful for being able to be together in person with family members, which, for many of us was not a possibility in the last 18 months or so. And so just having that time together to be around a table together, to be able to have face-to-face conversation, to be able to cook together and all of that is just an enormous blessing that I think we all underappreciate at other times.
Why do you think Thanksgiving has become America's most popular holiday, Father Robert?
Well, first, we like food, so there's that. But I think that it's one of those times of year where, and there are fewer and fewer, it feels like, those moments when we share a common story, right, where we gather together and we give thanks for the commonalities we have, the things we share together in life together. It feels like so much of our culture and our politics is driven by what's different, how are we different from one another. And this is one of those moments where we give thanks for the land that we share, for the bounty that we share, for just being able to be together one with another. And I think there's something about that that feels, quaint and old-fashioned and deeply needed right now.
The meaning of Thanksgiving, I think, really focuses on relationships. And let's face it, if we're lucky enough to be with other people, and I hope everyone is on Thanksgiving, it is, we'll be talking to other people, and it will be relationship. And that is so very important, Father Robert.
Well, it's hugely important. And one of the, when I do premarital counseling with people, one of the things I say is the thing you have to remember is you can choose to be right or you can choose to be in a relationship. You don't always get to do both. And I think we've reached a point in our national life where I think we all just really, really want to be right. And we have forgotten just how important it is to stay in relationship. And so I think this is one of those times when we can be reminded that of how important those relationships are, and that those stories, those memories we make together are the things that make us who we are. And so I think part of why Thanksgiving is so important is that it reminds us who we are at our core, which is a people of gratitude who share with one another, who reach out to those in need, who welcome people into our homes and into our midst and into our lives. And boy, does that seem like something important right now.
In the Bible, the meaning of Thanksgiving is reflected in adoration, sacrifice, praise, or an offering. Thanksgiving was a grateful language to God as an act of worship. So before we were celebrating Thanksgiving, maybe not the holiday or what we think of as the feast, but Thanksgiving has really been a part of the Christian faith.
Well, and not just the Christian faith. I think I think there's a deep-seated human need to give thanks. And I think that gratitude unlocks our fundamental humanity, no matter what faith tradition we come out of. And it is central, certainly, to the Christian tradition. The central act of worship in many Christian communities is the Eucharist, communion together. And Eucharist means thanksgiving. And so the central act every Sunday in many churches is the act of thanksgiving. In the Eucharistic prayers, the central act of those is called the Great Thanksgiving. And so the idea is that what we are all together to do is to give thanks week by week. And in some ways, the national sort of secular holiday of Thanksgiving is in some ways a public ritual, a national Thanksgiving where we gather for this deep-seated human desire to offer thanks and be grateful together.
Thanksgiving's kind of a tricky time for our Native American friends, for our First Nation people, not only in the United States, but Canada. Many Native Americans actually look on Thanksgiving as kind of a day of mourning. So I think it's appropriate, Father Robert, for all Americans, not only those of Native American descent, to honor the history of indigenous people of North America.
Well, absolutely, and I think part of almost any faith tradition is two things. One is some act of contrition, some recognition that we are all bound up in systems that we may not have directly contributed to, but we all inherit things that happened in the past that we can show regret for. And the other piece of every faith tradition is a commitment to the truth, right? So just telling a story that doesn't, that only shows the favorable bits all the time, doesn't honor the truth of the holiday. And it doesn't honor, frankly, the truth of the meaning of the holiday, right? It takes its meaning in light of the fact that those first, relationships between Native peoples and the settlers, were not rosy and perfect and unblemished. So part of what actually gives the Thanksgiving story its power is the fact that this thing happened, this act of feeding and gratitude and hospitality happened in the context of conflict, not just in the context of harmonious, sort of loving and lovely relationships. And so I think that adds a particular poignancy and depth to the whole thing that we lose when we try and for lack of a better word, sort of whitewash the story.
All right, we'll have more with Father Robert, but first I want to tell everybody about Green Things. I mentioned at the top of the program that Steve and the team up at Mona is still taking, at this point, you don't really need to call in your order. You can walk into the bakery. I hope you will with a lot of other people today at northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, not only to pick up your order, but maybe when you're there, you'll think, A Danish Kringle or a Danish coffee cake would be really nice to start the day on Thanksgiving morning. Also, our friends over at Green Things want me to remind you, and I'll do so gladly, that wouldn't it be nice now that we are officially into the holiday season, today being the 24th, believe it or not, Christmas Eve is 1 month away. Now is the time to pick up all of your poinsettias. The poinsettias, where are they grown? Well, try Green Things. And they have thousands of them, and they start the process right after New Year's, start the growing process for the poinsettias. They are ready now, and they grow in several greenhouses over at Green Things, which is located at 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. It's a 13-acre site. It's home to Zocalo. They have all that great merchandise, much of it handcrafted from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. This would be a great opportunity for me to say I'm giving thanks to all of our great sponsors, not only Mona's Danish Bakery, but Green Things, Noble Hops, and they've been with us pretty much since day one. All of our great sponsors who have been with the program, in many cases, almost the 11 full years, because we will be closing out 11 full years at the end of the year, and then we'll launch into year 12. So these are, I guess you could call them legacy sponsors, and I want to just do a very, very big shout out and thank you to these sponsors who believe in the kind of programming we do here, which is a kind of a nonpartisan program, just letting the listeners make their decisions on what they hear on the radio. We'll take a break right here. Back with Father Robert right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Why is mining so important? It's the foundation of everything that defines a society. Everything you see is a product of mining. No matter when, no matter how, no matter why, every society on this planet has developed, grown, and modernized based solely on the minerals it could process. That, my friend, is why mining is so important.
Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
The Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 15 years of project delivery to the Greater Tucson region. As promised, the RTA has delivered nearly 900 projects from its 20-year 2006 voter-approved regional transportation plan, which is funded by a half-cent RTA tax. The RTA is committed to deliver the remaining plan projects. Learn more about the RTA's economic benefits at rtamobility.com.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Tom Sullivan here, inviting you to join the rest of us who spend every weeknight from 7 to 10 with the Tom Sullivan Show on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
It's the Buckmaster Show. It is Thanksgiving Eve 2021, 790-2040, 790-2040. We'd like to bring back on our live line, which is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, Father Robert Hendrickson, who is the Buckmaster Show contributor on faith and spirituality. Father Robert is the rector at St. Philip's in the Hills Episcopal Church. Last Thanksgiving was, of course, right in the middle of the pandemic, Father Robert, and Thanksgiving was very different. Have you returned at St. Philip's to somewhat of a normal holiday schedule?
We have. We have our Thanksgiving Day service at 11. And then we always have a meal afterward at 12 o'clock. This year it's a little bit different in that we're doing it outdoors, which hopefully the weather will hold. We have, you know, the meals are catered, sort of pre-made, rather than sort of making them on the spot. So it's slightly different, but it's, you know, I think like many aspects of our life, it's one more step back toward normalcy. We're not quite there yet, but almost there.
So if folks would like to share a meal and perhaps attend the service tomorrow, is the community welcome, Father Robert?
Absolutely. So the service is at 11 o'clock, and then the meal is at noon afterward. And, you know, there'll be plenty of food. If nothing else, they can sit by me, and I'll share some from my plate.
So let's talk a little bit about gratitude. One of the things that folks can do, you can actually celebrate you can celebrate Thanksgiving every day of the year by putting together kind of a gratitude diary. Talk a little bit about daily gratitude, Father Robert.
Well, I think that, you know, the every religious tradition has some way or another of marking each day, right? So all of them have different kinds of daily prayer. And I think one of the things that's become popular in recent years is what you mentioned, a gratitude diary, which is basically just the simple act of sitting down at the end of the day and listing a couple of things for which you are grateful. And it is really incredible how much that shapes the way you see your day. And it also, I think, trains us to be grateful for simple things, which we tend to forget from day to day. You know, so for example, today I will write down at the end of the day that I was grateful to watch my son this morning was at horse riding lessons, and it was just amazing to watch him. So it's one of those things that I'm going to make sure I make note of it, because it's not, you know, I don't know that in the busyness of the next couple of weeks that I would remember that, but it's something I want to hold on to. And that kind of gratitude changes the way we see our day and the way it also changes what we look for in our day, right? So when you know, oh, at the end of the day, I want to make sure I note this thing I'm grateful for, it puts you on the lookout for things to be grateful for, when I think most of us are sort of on the lookout for things to be offended by or annoyed by. And it's amazing how much better your life feels when you're on the lookout for things to be grateful for.
So many people are so angry. We were talking with our aviation contributor, captain of JetBlue Airways, who lives in Oro Valley, and he contributes to our program. He was off starting a 5-day trip that will take him all over the East Coast down to the Caribbean. And he was talking about the whole attitude on airplanes and all of this anger that people are bringing with them when they come on the airplane. And it's kind of ironic. Here they are going to Thanksgiving celebrations to be with friends and family, and really it's supposed to be about thanks and gratitude, but they have this terrible anger. So where's this anger coming from, Father Robert?
Well, I would say that, you know, if you want me to give the metaphysical answer, I would say from sin. But we can work from there. I think that so many people, that this last couple of years has been isolating. I think that it has, you know, every day we're reminded of something that annoys us, whether it's people aren't wearing masks, or people are wearing masks, or people aren't being vaccinated, or people are being required to be vaccinated. And so there's this constant sort of drumbeat of stimulating sort of, hyper-stimulating kind of news. And it's also put us all in a place of, you know, the humans are at their worst oftentimes when we're in those kind of flight or fight sort of instinctive response modes. And boy, we have an entire world, not just us, the entire world that's been in that mode of feeling like we're trying to just survive. And any trip to the grocery store might get you sick, or any handshake. Or the other day I was at the store and someone coughed over my shoulder. And I, 18 months ago, I would have just sort of been slightly annoyed. But then, of course, this I felt like, oh, some plague carrier has just come at me. Every moment, even simple moments like standing in line at the grocery store, are suddenly filled with this kind of fraught tension. The human spirit can only bear that for so long before we start taking out on other people. And so my hope is that we recover a kind of sense of equilibrium and recover that willingness to assume one another's best intentions and to see the best in one another. And that's part of where gratitude comes in to play, I think. Is that being grateful for the gifts that one another has, being grateful for the gift it is to be in community and to have one another, hopefully can begin to tamp down some of those instinctive responses to the annoyances of our common life right now.
I started the program with a piece in the talking about a piece, opinion piece by Melanie Kirkpatrick, a senior fellow at the Hudson Institute, former deputy editor of the journal's editorial board, and she was urging readers perhaps to maybe kind of reject the campaign to rewrite Thanksgiving history. And she was talking about no one should be forced to eat turkey on Thanksgiving, because some people are saying, you know, that they're decrying the traditional turkey dinner as a wasteful indulgence. Well, if you don't want to do turkey, there are there are vegetarian alternatives. So, you know,
absolutely.
Relax, take a deep breath.
Yes, I had these friends of ours that were vegetarian, but they were also allergic to carrots and everything else in the world. So it got to the point where I said, I'm just going to send you $20 2 weeks beforehand. Buy whatever you want to eat and bring it.
So a preview of your message tomorrow on Thanksgiving Day to your parishioners at St. Philip's in the Hills.
Well, I'll share with you on there. There's a story about this young man who's in his 20s who lived next to an 89-year-old woman, and they struck up some conversations and some friendships, and then the conversation moved to it. He invited her because she was going into hospice, and he couldn't bear to see her go into hospice and not have companionship, so he invited her at the end of her life to come live with him and took care of her. And there's something lovely about this young man and this woman at the end of her life, finding commonality, finding friendship, and desiring to sort of for him to support her in her last days. And I think there's something valuable in that about how do we recover this sense of being grateful for one another, cherishing one another's experience and point of view to the point where we're willing to sacrifice for one another again. And how can we be grateful that's the kind of messages at the heart of all of our faith traditions. And so that's where I'll spend most of my time tomorrow.
Well, it's also a very important time when folks get together and they're at their Thanksgiving table, and to maybe retell some stories. Each generation, Father Robert, brings purpose and significance to the richness of their heritage. Maybe rather than hopefully people won't be getting into fights about politics and everything, everything like that. Just set it aside. Everybody take a deep breath and maybe let some of the older folks around the table maybe talk about some of their earlier Thanksgivings and some of their happy memories, and good and bad. I think it's important to retell the stories. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and I still remember this day being, you know, 7, 8, 9 years old and sitting and listening to relatives who had been in Germany and in Poland during World War II, sort of talking about what that was like and sharing their experience of coming to the United States. And you talk about what can we be grateful for as a country and as a culture. I mean, the stories of those who came here from other places fleeing sort of the kinds of experiences they had there to find a new life here. That's the kind of thing we need to be passing on to the next generation. And how do we rebuild our common story of what it means to be Americans? Because you know the constant division is only going to take us so far. We've got to find a way once again to remember that we are inheritors of these stories, and that we are shaping a new story together for the next generation, and trying to help figure out what story do we want to tell, and how do we want to shape their imagination of what it means to be together, to be Americans, is crucial, I think, now.
Well, I'm very thankful you are in our community, and I'm so happy that we have our friendship. Father Robert Hendrickson of St. Philip's in the Hills Episcopal Church, want to wish you and your lovely family a very happy Thanksgiving, Father Robert.
To you as well, Bill. It's always a joy to talk to you, and it's a gift.
Thank you very much, sir. All right, coming up next, the mayor of the city of Tucson. She is with me. In studio, Mayor Regina Romero will be coming up in just a few moments. It's Buckmaster on this day before Thanksgiving.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at VeroAmorePizza.com.
Have you ever imagined how your life would be without the modern conveniences you rely on every day? Everything you need depends entirely on products produced from mining. Without mining, think Stone Age. Your work commute might be a bit slower, but you could still have social media. Bathing shouldn't be a problem, but it won't be in a tub. So unless you're a caveman, you can see everything that enriches your life depends on the many miracles from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. It is our Thanksgiving Eve edition here on the program. And again, I'm just so thankful. You heard that lineup of our wonderful sponsors. Give these people, support them. They have been so good to us as we close out 11 years at the end of the year and then launch into year 12, the first week of January. Let's welcome now the mayor of the city of Tucson, Rahina Romero, back to the Buckmaster Show. Mayor, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much. I'm very thankful to be here with you. And the last activity I do before I start my Thanksgiving activities with family.
Now, will you be cooking?
I will be cooking the turkey, yes. Mm-hmm. The last 5 years, I would say, I've perfected my recipe and cooking the turkey, and I love it. I have a big family. I have five siblings, and we do a potluck.
Wait a minute, there's six kids?
I'm the sixth. I'm the youngest of six.
Wow. So how many will be for Thanksgiving, do you think, tomorrow?
Hopefully, you know, we've been very careful in terms of COVID protocols, vaccinations, and we're all hoping to test ourselves too, just to make sure that we're all okay together. My mom is 88 years old, and so we protect her a lot. Mm-hmm. And so since last year we couldn't gather, this year, since we're all vaccinated, the kids have been getting their vaccines, those under 12. And so we're hopefully ready to gather and, you know, be as careful as we possibly can, but also enjoy family.
Will this be the first Thanksgiving without your dad?
No, unfortunately, Dad passed away 5 years ago.
5 years.
And still missed tremendously in mm-hmm. our family, but it will be the fifth year without our dad's presence in our lives.
But it's a close family.
Very close family. It's five girls and my brother. And of course, we all have our kids. Mm-hmm. And so the family has expanded. We're hoping that we can, all be safe and be able to gather this year. Last year was very sad.
Yeah.
We spent Thanksgiving just our immediate family and
sequestered. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. At today's special meeting of the Pima County Board of Supervisors, the vote was 3-2 to proceed with legal action against the city of Tucson to not only explore legal options, but really to move forward and challenge the rate increases for nearly 29% of Tucson Water customers. Do you think that this will pass muster in a court, that a judge will rule on the side that the city of Tucson is okay and in the right with this deal?
Yes, we are absolutely confident that this step that the mayor and council have taken will pass legal muster. We are the only city in Arizona, really, just we're the exception, not the rule, in terms of differential water rates. Cities throughout Arizona have differential water rates, including Yuma and Glendale and Phoenix and Mesa and other cities. The city of Tucson had not gotten there. But it is incumbent upon mayor and council to be strong stewards of our precious water resources, especially now as we face a likelihood of a tier two water shortage at Lake Mead. And so It is unfortunate that the Board of Supervisors, that the three members of the Board of Supervisors decided to go in this direction. It lacks any legal basis, is purely symbolic, and it sets a dangerous precedent.
Is this kind of another wedge in relations between the city and county? Am I hearing you say this is really not what we need at this point?
It really is not what we need. We need to be strong stewards on our end at the mayor and council level of our precious water resources. And we need a strong relationship with the Pima County Board of Supervisors. If you think about it, the Board of Supervisors are actually castigating their own constituents. City of Tucson residents are Pima County residents as well. And so it doesn't make any sense whatsoever that the Board of Supervisors, just because they didn't like the result of studies and professional recommendations for the mayor and council to have differential water rates.
You're talking about that cost of service study that several on the Board of Supervisors say is just was inadequate. It cherry-picked the information to justify the city moving forward. You say that is just not true.
Yeah, the county's campaign to delegitimize the cost of service study, which, by the way, we use the same exact consultant that the county uses to set its wastewater rates. And so their position is not based on facts. It's a denial of the facts presented to mayor and council by a professional that they use to set their wastewater rates. And it clearly demonstrates that the costs to deliver water outside of the city of Tucson cost between 5 and 26% more. And that for so many years, the city of Tucson proper residents have been subsidizing the cost of water delivery to unincorporated Pima County residents.
Whatever happened to your Tucson Million Tree initiative? When you took office, this was right up there at the top of your agenda. You said we've got to plant these trees as a mitigating factor in the climate change that, let's face it, Tucson's on the front lines of climate change.
Yes.
Just look at the past couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, is this still an active deal? I mean,
Tucson Million Trees, yes.
I mean, can we do this with, we don't have water? I mean, how are we going to water the trees?
Our Tucson Million Trees initiative has become a City of Tucson initiative. And for the first time in the history of our city, we hired an urban forestry manager. And
is that person on board? Now?
She's on board. Mm. She's on board. And this will take not just the city of Tucson, but private partners to fund it.
Has she been evaluating what they call the whole canopy?
All of it. All of it. We are way ahead when it comes to our planning efforts. Now we're putting our planning efforts into action. And our urban forestry manager, we've created a website. People, regular folk, can get on that website. And
I need to bring that person on the show.
You do. And you need, if you plant trees, you can go on the website and include those trees in our Million Trees initiative.
I need to get this city forester on the program.
It's wonderful. And by the way, one of the points that I've made about our Million Trees initiative and any climate resiliency and climate change issues is that governments cannot take it upon ourselves to fix everything. It is a partnership with private partners. And I have to say it has been incredible partnership with Tucson Electric Power, donating $100,000 to the Tucson Million Trees Initiative.
$100,000
TEP just announced, and we just celebrated that partnership.
Anybody else stepping up?
Yes, and it, you know, I'm happy to announce in this show that Mr. Car Wash has committed $150,000
to
the Million Trees Initiative.
I like Mr. Car Wash. I'm a member of the Mr. Car Wash family. So you're saying right now that they have come forward?
Yes.
And how much are they talking about? Mr. Car Wash?
$150,000 committed in the next 3 years.
So there's $250,000 right there from TEP and Mr. Car Wash. All right, we'll pause right here with the mayor, Rahina Romero. Be back on the Buckmaster Show right after this.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the golden standard for cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
When the public weighed in on the first draft of the Regional Transportation Authority Plan, the RTA responded by revising the final plan before voter approval in 2006. The RTA is preparing for a new plan for voter consideration by June 2026 and invites your input on regional transportation priorities. A draft plan will be presented for further public review. Submit your input or learn more at rtanext.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
This is Kate Delaney. Join me tonight for a conversation about what's happening in the world that affects you. Tonight at 10 on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, one of our great sponsors, and we've been saying thank you very much. It's a time of gratitude, and one of the ones I'm really grateful for. They've been with us pretty much since day one. We send so many visitors over to a beautiful area, our neighbor state, the land of enchantment, Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. I send a lot of listeners there, and they all come back and say the same thing. Bill, I've lived in Tucson, they'll say maybe 20 years, all their lives. Rahina Romero with me in studio. I send so many over there. They've never been over to Silver City. It's a three-hour drive. It's a very, as you know from your environmental background, Silver City, a very environmentally conscious place with the Gila National Wilderness.
Yes.
It's a great getaway.
It's a beautiful place.
It is. And it's not that far. It's about a three-hour drive over there and a pretty easy drive and a good starting place. If you've got some time off over the Thanksgiving, it'd be a great time to take a little road trip. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for places to stay and things to do. Mayor Romero, we continue with our conversation with Rahina Romero. How are we doing now in vaccinating one of the largest workforces, really, in Southern Arizona, the city employees?
Yes, we are at 98% compliance in terms of vaccination and or exemptions. I am very happy to report that the numbers we heard yesterday from the city manager is that only 88 City of Tucson employees remain without a vaccination. That's out of more than 3,900 employees. And to be honest, we were the first city in Arizona to mandate the vaccines, and it was hard. We had to fight the state. We had to fight the governor, the attorney general. But we felt that we were making the best public health choice for our city and our employees. And thank goodness that we have 98% compliance. And the city manager has assured us that the service delivery to our citizens will not be greatly affected as we move into the December 1st deadline.
Yeah, and when this all came down a couple of months ago about the mandated vaccines, it looked like we had turned the corner on COVID.
Yes.
Now we know that's not true. We have a real, real problem. We have so much disease now, and Dr. Cullen has said it's not just high transmission rate. She said yesterday in her news conference, it's high transmission of COVID in the community.
And Dr. Cullen, we invite Dr. Cullen to give us a presentation at Mayor and Council yesterday. In fact, she was there with us as well. And she is very concerned about the hospital capacity that we have. Only 8 ICU beds available for the entire county.
Wow.
That is scary.
Yeah.
We have a very high percentage of transmission in our county. And what she asked the community to do is to, one, get a vaccine. Get your vaccine. Continue using your mask when out and about. And wash your hands. And what did she say? It's the 3 M's, mask up and vaccinate and wash your hands. We need to continue to be vigilant. And we know people are tired. It's difficult. It's been a long time.
It's been 20 months.
But we have to remain vigilant. And those that can get a vaccine must get a vaccine so that we can stop this transmission and the deaths associated with COVID-19. They're devastating.
You were invited to the White House for the ceremony for the signing of the infrastructure bill, the Bipartisan Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act. What was that experience like for you?
It was absolutely incredibly an honor to be there representing the city of Tucson. I was one of 40 mayors in the entire country invited to be at the signing ceremony, which is a wonderful thing for the city of Tucson to be on President Biden's map. Important enough to be there amongst just 40 mayors. And I worked diligently with the Biden administration to lobby and to make sure that our congressional delegation and our senators really moved this infrastructure bill past the finish line. And so it's wonderful to be able to have been there representing our city, representing Southern Arizona. And the infrastructure bill is an incredible, incredible transformative investment in our infrastructure. It's going to be important for our economy here in Arizona and in Southern Arizona. I've always maintained for all the years that I've served as an elected official, 16 years now, that public infrastructure investment leverages private investment. So it's going to be absolutely good for our economy, for creating jobs, and for transforming the future of our infrastructure here in Arizona and throughout the country.
Will there be train service between Tucson and Phoenix? Is that part of the deal?
That is part of the deal. There's $66 billion appropriated for passenger rail, and there is an investment, a $900 million investment from Amtrak that they are planning to connect Tucson to Phoenix and into California with passenger rail. So it's an investment that, if not done here, would be invested somewhere else. So I'm 100% supportive of this connectivity. It can mean removing vehicles from a highly congested area of I-10 from Tucson to Phoenix, move them out of their car, good for the, not just good for congestion relief, but also for our environment if we move people out of their cars and into passenger rail. And so incredible investment in transit, in roads and bridges, in Senator Kelly worked diligently to have investments in remediating our water so that we can have high quality water delivered to the residents of our region. And so all in all, incredible. And now, you know, now that this bill has been signed, I am continuing the advocacy for the Build Back Better Act in the reconciliation. We have important infrastructure investment in our gray infrastructure. Now we have to see equal investment in our human infrastructure. And these investments are going to position our country to compete globally against any advanced nation in this world.
I'm out of time, but I've got about a minute. But the council is urging, this is a crisis about affordable housing. Is this being bumped up to the top of the agenda?
Yes, I had requested back in August that the Housing Community Development Department create a strategic plan for affordability. I had been noticing for many years that we had a piecemeal approach on affordable housing. And what I directed staff to do back in August, and it was a unanimous vote from my colleagues on the council, was to create a strategic plan. Tell us how we're going to get affordability done. Yesterday, we had another unanimous vote starting the process to move on a lot of issues that prevent affordability from happening. And so the mayor and council and the community are in the same place when it comes to affordable housing. And we are moving fast and furiously to make sure that we're creating affordable units, rental and home ownership opportunities for Tucsonans.
All right, Mayor Romero, I hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving, and I know you want to wish everyone the same.
I want to wish everyone in our region a happy Thanksgiving. We're all in this together. The more unified and solid we are as we move forward into the future of our beautiful region, the better. So happy Thanksgiving, and everyone, be careful. Stay safe.
Good advice, yes. Be careful. Stay safe. Thank you very much, Mayor.
Thank you.
All right, that'll wrap it up for the Buckmaster Show. We'll be off for a couple of days. We've got a couple of great special programs. We call them Best Of. I always like to say they're worth a second listen. So we'll have those on Thanksgiving and Friday so the Buckmasters can enjoy a nice four-day weekend along with a lot of other people. On behalf of Mayor Romero and Ray Allen doing a great job engineering and producing, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Enjoy and happy Thanksgiving, everybody.